the Public News Service DOA Newscast, September the 19th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Today is National Voter Registration Day. Advocates across New York and the nation are reminding people to check up on their registration status.
Data from the Census Bureau shows that while voter registration was up 2% in the 2022 midterm election cycle, 30% of eligible Americans are still not registered to vote. With no national offices on the ballot this November, people may overlook voting in an off-year election. But Deb Liebman with the League of Women Voters says state and local elections are also important.
The Albany County Legislature is up for election, and most of the towns and cities have local town boards, town supervisors. People think the local elections don't get as much attention and press, but they're very important, especially to everybody's day-to-day existence.
The state registration deadline to vote in November's election is October 28th. To check registration status, find out how to register, and see what's on the ballot, visit vote411.org. The League of Women Voters was formed in 1920 and continues as a nonpartisan organization that advocates for voting and provides voters information about issues and candidates. Brett Pivato reporting.
Next to Washington State, where one population has only recently had their right to vote restored, Eric Tanoff reports that would be people who were incarcerated.
In 2022, voting rights were restored to people if they are not currently serving a sentence in prison. Anthony Blankenship is with Civil Survival, a Washington State-based organization that works with people with experience in the criminal legal system. He says restoring voting rights to people who have been incarcerated helps them be part of society again.
Without having that voice and without having the power to be able to be civically engaged, what are we saying? We're reducing people to second-class citizens, and this allows people to be engaged.
Blankenship notes people who have been incarcerated are the most impacted by laws passed in the state, and so they should have a say in who makes those laws. Civil Survival is holding three mural-making events to celebrate voting rights restoration. The first is in Spokane today, followed by an event in Yakima on Saturday and Tacoma on September 30th.
People out of prison in Washington State who want to vote must register with the Secretary of State's office. And for the Associated Press, five Americans detained for 5 years in Iran walked off a plane and into freedom Monday. That as part of a potentially risky deal that saw President Joe Biden agree to the release of nearly $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets. The AP reports the successful negotiations for the Americans' freedom brought Biden profuse thanks from their families, also heat from Republican presidential rivals, and others who oppose the monetary arrangement with one of America's top adversaries. This is Public News Service. Federal data shows much of the U.S. is seeing job growth for the clean energy sector. Minnesota is no exception.
The organization Clean Energy Economy Minnesota says jobs supporting resources like solar energy or electric vehicles grew overall by nearly 3.5% last year. Currently, there are nearly 60,000 Minnesotans working in the clean energy sector. SEEM's managing director, Amelia Serling-Hennis, says this encouraging trend isn't just confined to certain parts of the state.
The clean energy sector is benefiting economies all across the state. About 1 in 3 clean energy jobs are located in Greater Minnesota.
Statewide, there was a 10% growth in jobs supporting the transition to EVs. Industry sources acknowledge challenges, with 82% of clean energy employers citing difficulties in filling open positions. That's prompting renewed calls for more investments in job training programs. I'm Mike Moen.
More broadly, industry leaders are calling on the Congress to protect funding from policies such as the Inflation Reduction Act for additional clean energy development and the jobs that they are creating. Meantime, researchers at the University of Maine are working to develop a more resilient electric power grid to withstand the growing number of climate change-related weather events.
The goal is to help communities disproportionately impacted by these events build locally controlled microgrids fueled by renewable energy. Associate professor with the School of Economics, Dr. Sharon Klein, says rural and remote communities identified as socially vulnerable often face the greatest impacts when power lines go down.
A lot of our northern communities are on that list, and also a lot of the coastal communities who are going to be susceptible to a lot of the sea level rise and flooding.
Klein says researchers will also work with communities in Alaska, South Dakota, and Puerto Rico to study how local microgrids could better ensure the lights stay on when extreme weather strikes. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Finally, from Ross Brown, New Mexico wants more residents to drive electric vehicles and is hosting a series of meetings to explain its advanced clean cars and trucks rules.
State provisions require automakers to deliver an increasing percentage of new zero-emission cars and light-duty trucks for sale each year. The new rules are meant to improve air quality by reducing ground-level ozone and greenhouse gas emissions. Mona Blaber with the Sierra Club Rio Grande chapter says adoption of the new rules through 2035 would provide $44 billion in economic benefits.
They're more affordable than people think, but we need these kinds of policies to keep bringing the price down, bring them to cost parity.
This is by Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's some interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.